We're doing Mishle. We're up to the what's called the fourth chapter, the first pasuk, and we read the pasukim with a traditional tune, and then explain. We'll dedicate our learning tonight to Sheindel Bas Asher Zeleg. Hashem should bless her and grant her Kol Mishalot Libal Tova. The pasuk says, Shim'u vanim musar av v'akshivu lada'at bina. Sons, listen to the teaching, to the direction of the father. The father here is a reference to God, to Hashem. V'akshivu, and listen over here means really to obey. Lada'at bina, so that you know understanding. Sometimes some things you could understand on your own. And sometimes, if you want to gain understanding, so then you have to listen, and then you gain understanding. Some things you can't understand on your own. And the Torah, the word of Hashem, teaches us things that we would not be able to get on our own. Ki lekach tov natati lachem torati al ta'azovu. Shlomo HaMelech says, in the name of Hashem, ki lekach tov natati lachem, for I have given you a good teaching. I've given you something that'll help you in life. I've given you something that'll guide you to a good life. I've given you something that's good for you. And so, Torati al ta'azovu, do not leave my Torah. Do not leave my way of life. Do not leave my lekach. Do not leave my teaching. Do not leave my Torah. And Torah over here could mean a way of life, my customs. Kiven hayiti le'avi rach ve'yachid lifnei'imi. Shlomo HaMelech says, you know, don't think that I hate people, that I hate living life to the fullest. Sometimes you think the guy who's teaching you, he's a masochist. He's a sadist. If he doesn't want me to enjoy life, he doesn't enjoy life. He's what kind of person would want to keep all these mitzvot? So Shlomo HaMelech says, I know I'm telling you things you don't want to listen to. I'm telling you to be meticulously honest. I'm telling you that promiscuity is prohibited. There are things that you want to do, and I'm telling you not to do them. So Shlomo HaMelech says, you know, I was a single son. My father loved me. My mother adored me. And they who adored me, Vayoreini, Vayomerli. And he taught me, and he said to me, Yitmoch devarai libecha shemo mitzvotai vechye. Let my words support your heart, and watch what I teach you, and you will live. So these teachings were taught to me by my father, my mother, by people who adored me. So I'm not telling you something because I hate, because I can tell you my parents loved me, and they taught me this. So I'm continuing the way. And this is a point that we have to remember. The Chovat HaTalmidim, the Piasechner Rebbe writes that one of the great challenges of education in our day is that the children feel like the teacher is the enemy. Children feel like, I know what I want, I know what life's about, and you're getting in my way. Why are you telling me all this? So one of the keys in Chinuch is to show them that I'm on your side. I don't hate you, I love you. And that's a key point. So Shlomo HaMelech begins by telling us that. He says, and if you think I hate you, I want you to know, my parents loved me, and this is what they told me. Kenei chokhma, kenei vina. Acquire wisdom, acquire understanding, acquire Torah. Al tishkach ve'al teit me'im refi. Do not forget and do not leave. Do not steer, do not veer of what I've taught you. Al ta'az ve'ha v'tishmereka. If you don't leave the Torah, it will protect you. If you love it, it will watch over you. So, Shlomo HaMelech is giving us advice. Shlomo HaMelech is telling us that it requires watching. It requires acquiring. Meaning, there's the first step. Knei chokhmah, knei vina, what we read in Pasuk Hei. One must acquire it. It doesn't come easily. And then, after a person's acquired it, al tishkach, don't forget it. And then, once you remember it, then there's the bigger challenge. I've learned, I understand, I remember, but I don't want to obey. Shlomo HaMelech says, ve'al teit, and don't veer off what I've taught you. And then, a person lives in adherence, and he reaches a point where he says, okay, it's either do or don't. Meaning I realize I've been sticking to this tshuva process for 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, and at some point a person says, okay, I realize I can't play games. Either I really do it or I really don't. So maybe I won't. Tells us. Initially he said you have to acquire it. Then he said don't forget it. Then he said, okay, now that you've acquired and you haven't forgotten, so don't veer off the path. Stick to it. And after you stick to it, then you tell yourself, okay, but maybe I need a vacation. Maybe it's time to take off from this Shabbos thing, this Kashrus thing, this Al Tazveh, Shlomo HaMelech tells us. Don't leave. You should know that you'll find in life that it pays you back. V'tishmereka. It will also protect you. Ehaveha. Now we're going on to the next step. I not only have acquired the Torah, I remember the Torah. I haven't veered from the path of the Torah. I haven't left the Torah. Shlomo HaMelech says, now grow to the point where you love the Torah. These are goals we have to set before ourselves. And we have to know that very often we think in life that love is something that just lands upon you. Either you do or you don't. It's like chocolate ice cream. Either you like it or you don't. No, not two ways about it. You don't choose whether you like it or you don't. Some people love bananas, some people hate bananas. But it's one way or another. Some people really like rock and roll and some people really don't. It's the way you were created. Tells the Shlomo HaMelech, no. Love it. Love is a choice. And there's another point here, which maybe we could also see this point in the pasuk, although it's not what it's saying overtly. Where does love come from? So I once dated a girl who said a line to me, and on this line we basically broke up. But years later I realized there was truth to what she said. How's that for one? She said, we connect to things that we sacrifice for. So I felt that her whole attitude to Torah was all about sacrifice and suffer and everything. And I said, okay, goodbye lady, that's it, I've had it. I want to lead a happy life. Observant, but happy. And I felt like she's there. If even love can be described by her in painful terms, that's okay, I've had it. But the truth is that there's truth to what she said. The word ahava, the Kabbalists say, comes from the word hav, to give. And a person has to know that connection comes with time. Over time that we invest, we learn to love. That's part of what happens. Now that we've described the importance of acquiring Torah, learning Torah, not forgetting the Torah, not leaving the Torah, loving the Torah, so then how do you acquire Torah? Tells us Shlomo HaMelech, Reshit Chochma Kinei Chochma Uvchol Kinyanecha Kinei Vina. The beginning of wisdom is acquiring wisdom. Meaning, originally people might think, if I want to get smart, let me close myself up in a room and think. If I think long and hard, maybe I'll find the truth. More than likely, you'll find yourself daydreaming. Shlomo HaMelech says, Reshit Chochma, the beginning of wisdom is Kinei Chochma, acquire wisdom. Don't think that wisdom can begin from within. Wisdom is usually acquired. God gave us a Torah. We work with the Torah. The first step of Torah is acquiring Torah. Go to a Rebbe and learn. What does the Torah have to say? Don't think you can just be self-educated. Kinei Chochma. The beginning of wisdom is acquiring wisdom. Acquiring something that's external to ourselves. People often think, let me look deep and hard inside of me, then I'll find all the truth. Well, we're not on that level at this day and age. We have to acquire it. It's been given. There are books. Acquire it. Uvechol kinyanecha. And a person should invest whatever he can, knei vina, to acquire understanding. Meaning, originally, you're just acquiring the facts. Now, what's the understanding? What's the logic behind it? What's the intricate understanding? What can I derive from all of this that I've learned? How can I put the pieces of the puzzle together? So, uvechol kinyanecha, and all the things you've acquired, now start putting them together. Start juggling them and asking yourselves, okay, well, how can I put all this together? And what understandings can I get from all this? Knei vina, use everything you've acquired to gain understanding. And understanding is an internal process. Salsileha uteromimeheka. Go after the Torah. There are two ways a person can learn. A person can enroll in an academy and ask himself, okay, what classes are there? What interests me? And I'll take those classes, I'll take my notes, I'll take the tests, I passed, okay, now I'm a smart guy. That might work in college, that might work in university, that might work in secular knowledge. It doesn't work that way in Torah. Torah, you want Torah, you have to really want it. You have to go after it. You have to find ways of getting it. It's not only about going to the classes. You have to really pursue it. You're talking about a top form of knowledge. I could tell you that when I started learning, one of the things I davened about a lot was to find big rabbis who I could actually get close to learn from. And Hashem sent me gifts. Be it Rav Pesen Zatzal, I'd go to his class. No one else was there to take advantage of me. He'd finish class, and then whoever wanted could stay and ask questions. And I'd have him to myself for an hour and a half every night after the shiur. A giant in Torah, and no one, I mean, there were rarely anyone there competing with me. I'd have him to myself. I'd have to, you know, when you have someone like that to yourself, so then you finish your questions after a few weeks, and then you say, wait a second, this is a waste, what am I going to do? So I'd spend the day reviewing what I learned by him a day earlier and preparing questions for the next night, and night after night. And when I left him, I'd call him. It's things that we have to pursue. Salsilea, Shlomo HaMelech says, pursue the Torah, seek the Torah. It's not enough that you just say, okay, I got my art scroll, I finished my Daf Gemara, I did my Daf Yomi, I learned my halacha today. You want to really acquire Torah, you have to look after it, you have to seek it. I often tell you guys how I used to take out the garbage in Rav Mordechai Eliyahu's house. Figured I get in, I learn things, I learned a lot from those visits. There are all kinds of opportunities. When I go to a shul, I try to walk the rabbi home. I was in a certain yeshuv, I heard the rabbi's speech, I said, wow, they have the real Talmud Chacham here, the rabbi of the yeshuv. So after davening, I was surprised to see no one else walked him home. So I walked him home. The story goes back a year ago. I walked him home and I got to ask him, you learn a lot. I got off a bus once and I saw a big rav just got off that same bus, asked him if he minds if I accompany him. He said no. Okay, I walked him to wherever he was going. And I got to learn from him the whole way. I once was on a bus and Rav Neventzal got on the bus. So I automatically cleared the seat. And then I asked him if I could bug him the rest of the ride. And I did. I asked him questions the whole way. I was once at a wedding where Rav Simcha Cohen Cook was at the wedding. So on the way back, I asked him if I could have a tramp with him back to Rehovot. I didn't live in Rehovot. I was in Yerushalayim. I figured I could have a one-on-one with him the whole way back to Rehovot. I did. You know how many questions I asked the whole way back to Rehovot we were talking. And he offered me to continue correspondence by mail. I was stupid. I didn't take him up on it. We didn't even finish by the time I got off the car. And he said, you know, you could write me. I'll write you back. We could continue. And then I was too busy learning. I didn't have time, right? Okay. I could tell you a lot of stories. The question is, where can you take advantage? If you're looking for it, you'll find opportunities. You'll find opportunities. Shlomo HaMelech says, one of the keys to learning is looking for it. Not just taking what you get easily, but look for where you could get more. Salsilea, look after it. Utiromeneka, and what you put in is what you get out. Ultimately, it will lift you up, what you've looked after. Techabedcha, honor the Torah. Ki techabekena, and you should hug it, for it will honor you. Yeah, as you hug it, as you adore it, it will also give you honor. Yes, sir.
So, question. Because I have, I tried going over to rabbis and asking them questions. I'm like, I know there's a cook, Nick is here. I realize he's a very special person. So, but I find, like, halakha questions, I don't really, I'm not learning any halakha. You know, Gemara questions, I have my rabbi. So, philosophy, like, is that what should I ask? Philosophical questions that I like to think about. What type of questions? You know what I mean?
I don't think a person should be a nudnik, but
what type of questions?
I think everything's valid. I remember when I was in the car with Rav Simcha Cohen Cook, so then I had questions similar to Ari's questions. Questions on a national level, questions on how we view the state of Israel halachically, questions on the pronunciation of Lashon HaKodesh. Should one pronounce it the way Israelis do, or should one pronounce it the way they used to? There were a lot of questions that I had that pertain to halacha, that pertain to hashkafa, and I wanted to take advantage. With time, you understand who you're standing with, and you appreciate which questions fit for which person. But I also, I don't mean to say that every person should be a nudnik, and then anytime a Rav sees you, he's running and ducking his head into the car and saying, no, I'm sorry, I can't now. You know, you got to be careful not to be a nudnik either. So that's a balance you got to figure out. When Rav Avram Shapiro would go back from a wedding, even if I planned on staying at the wedding, I'd ask if I could have a ride in the car, and I'd ask him questions in halacha the whole ride back. Most of the Pisgei halacha I know from him are from those rides, there or back. Could be I'd get off the car at his home, go back, take a bus back to the wedding, because it was a friend of mine, and I wanted to be there for the dancing. But here, I'd have a half hour ride, have a ride from Talpiot to his house, where I'd get to ask him halacha questions. If you have nothing to gain from being in the presence of such a person, so maybe you should learn more before you do it. I'm saying, you know, it's depends on the person.
A lot of questions.
Not necessarily. Sometimes you learn from being in the person's presence. I remember when I gave rides to Rav David Feinstein, so he would always, everyone would honor him at the end of the car, and he'd get in the car and sit on the hump. You know that middle seat where no one wants to sit? So he'd get in and sit right
the
there.
That's
where he'd sit, because he knew that everyone else that gets in doesn't want to sit there, so he'd take that seat. That's midos which you see. That's not, you know, you could read books, but to see things live, to see how people behave is also a learning experience. But for that, I'm not sure how much effort you should put in. That's questionable. Depends on the person, depends on your relationship, depends on the circumstance. But a person should be on the lookout. I was Simchas Torah at a shul. So it's a shul I was never at before. And there were certain things they did in the shul that I wondered halachically why they were doing it that way. So I went and spoke to the Rav about it, and I gained a lot. I could have just spent the time learning my own sefer or dancing, and I took the few minutes to get acquainted with the Rav who's there and asked him, and I learned a lot. I learned that he had taken into account the questions I asked him, and he had all other halachic reasons for making the decision he made, which was also very interesting. I'm saying, in every circumstance, you have situations where you could gain from it. How many times do you leave shul and the Rav walks home alone? Every time I see an opportunity like that, I figure, let me see what I could learn. And you could learn different things from different people.
And so, what questions would you recommend for us? I know, just to come up with.
Let's say a person is contemplating, we'll take a live case we had here in the Mahon once. A guy is contemplating, he wants to make Aliyah, and he's looking for a position in management here in Israel, right? So there's a practical benefit a person can gain if he talks to as many people as he can, including a Rav, and he could say, look, I'm contemplating Aliyah, my Hebrew is on this and this level. And I was wondering if the Rav has any recommendations, like what direction I should think of in terms of Aliyah. You don't have to take everyone's advice, but you'd be surprised what angles people have. That's a simple practical thing. If a guy doesn't have a halacha he's curious about, why not take advantage of the contact and see where you could get with other aspects? I'll tell you a story that's taking place right now as we speak. Right now as we speak, there's a Jew on an airplane. A Jew who never left this country before in his life. Why is he on an airplane? He's on an airplane to go on a shidduch. So why do you fly out for a shidduch? So there's obviously a good reason why this shidduch makes sense. How come this guy's flying out there? So this story goes back maybe 5 or 10 years ago. I don't even remember how many years ago. A Jew I knew from the United States called me up that he's coming here, and he wants to spend a certain amount of time near the Yeshiva Merkaz Rav. He wants to gain something if he's there. So I said to him, okay, but if you're coming, I want you to meet this Talmud Chacham who's in the Yeshiva. So we set him up with that guy, and he learned with him every day 15 minutes he dedicated to this young man who flew in. 5 years passed, 10 years passed, and this young man meets a girl, and it makes sense to him. He says, the girl's not for me, but maybe she's for that Talmud Chacham who I learned with back in Israel. So he calls this Talmud Chacham, who took 10 minutes a day to learn with him, and says to him, you know, I dated this girl who I think might be for you, and she's visiting Israel in a few weeks. Would you mind going out there? And they go out, and they go out 5 or 10 times here in Israel, and they're not yet ready to kinch the deal. So now this Talmud Chacham is flying out to the United States, and Hashem should bless him. I wish him, it should work out well. But at the end of the day, he took time and helped this young man. This young man was smart enough to take advantage even of 10 minutes of a Talmud Chacham, and he got a lot out of it. He was so impressed, he went back and told this girl, and now we have a shidduch that's in motion. I'm saying, you know, so this time the Talmud Chacham benefited from it. But I can tell you that the guy who helped the Talmud Chacham is also benefiting from it, because he's going to have him in his house now, and to have such a Talmud Chacham, such a caliber in his house, I'm sure he's going to learn a lot from it. So, you know, it's a win-win situation. You start something, you never know where it'll go. Slowly. We don't know. We try. But that's a story that's taking place now as we speak. But
do I know him?
No, you don't know any of the parties involved. No. I'm just saying. So the guy came to Israel. He said, let me take advantage of a Talmud Chacham that's here. He took advantage. He learned by him. And then it keeps playing itself out. He's going to get more out of it. I know that he's going to get more than this Talmud Chacham is going to get from him. He's doing him the favor. He's taking him into his house. I guarantee you that just being in his presence for 3 weeks is going to change his life. You sit next to a guy who learns every 3 minutes, and you see the midos of a guy who learns Torah, and you see the Torah of a guy who learns Torah. It changes who you are. It gives you a different perspective. I always said that coming to Merkaz Arav just to see Rav Avraham Shapiro's smile was worth it. Because people think if you're a giant in Torah, then Torah keeps you very serious. And they don't realize that the real giants in Torah are calm and happy people. That's not the picture they're putting on the bulletin boards. But if you get to see them up close, you see that's what it's about. They're nice, they're warm, they're friendly, they're happy. Anyone who knew Rav Shlomo Zalman also knows Rav Shlomo Zalman's warmth. Shlomo Amel says one of the keys is run after it. Don't expect just to get what you'll get out of the books. It's a matter of running after it. Pasuk Tet, Titen L'Roshecha Liv Yad Chehen. The Torah will give a person a crown, Liv Yad Chehen, an ornament, a crown. The Torah ultimately is one's crown. Ateret Tiferet Temageneka. It will protect you with a crown of glory. One's Torah knowledge ultimately is one's glory. We don't learn Torah for that glory, but at the end of the day, it does represent. It should change who the person is, and ultimately, it also is part of his honor in his world. At the end of the day, people see who you are and what you know, and that is real honor, because then they value who the person is. That's very different than honor, because he's a millionaire. Okay, so tomorrow he's not a millionaire. What's he worth? But if he's a person, then they value who he is. That's a real crown. I remember there was a big rabbi in Mir who had Alzheimer's. And the respect everyone gave him, because so he didn't remember his Torah, but the Torah was still his crown and glory. You saw the way he behaved. You saw the human being he was when he couldn't remember anything. He'd look in the mirror and ask who that was. But for Mincha, he'd be on time. Go figure. Nefil Siadayim he would do. You'd see little halachas, because it was his life. That was more basic to him than who that guy in the mirror was. He'd walk into the room and he couldn't remember how to turn on the light switch. He'd look around and he'd ask me, isn't it dark here? And he didn't know how to turn on the light. But basic halachos, that was a part of who he was. Just like he knew how to get up off the chair, he knew that was just a part of his life. It's a person's glory. It becomes a part of who the person is. Shema bini. V'kach amarai, Shlomo HaMelech says, listen, my son, and you take my teachings, v'yirbu lecha shenot chayim, and you will have plenty of years of happiness. As we discussed in our Parsha class, the Netziv writes, v'yu chayei tzara, chayim doesn't only mean life, chayim also means happiness. Yiyu lecha shenot chayim, you will have life, you will have years of happiness. The Torah is about living the good life here. We don't focus only on the world to come in the Torah, like the Rambam writes in Igeret Teiman, in the Yemenite Epistle, like we find often in here, the Pasuk in Mishlei. Take my teaching, Shlomo Amel says, and this is the good life. Believe me, people think the good life is sitting and eating watermelon with shorts and a Cuban cigar, right? That's the good life. Shlomo Amel says, no, no, no. You want to really taste the good life? I'm telling you, this is the way to go. You don't taste it at the first bite. It's not like a watermelon. It's not like a Cuban cigar. I don't know. I never smoked a Cuban cigar. But for the sake of the parable. But in the long run, you'll see. You'll have shnot chayim. You'll have years of happiness. I've taught you the way of wisdom. Hidrachticha b'magale yosher. I've guided you in the path of righteousness. Notice that with us, wisdom goes hand in hand with righteousness, goes hand in hand with being a moral person, an honest person, meticulously honest. That's what we find. Remember the story we read last week about Abaye, right? Remember the story. He wouldn't derive benefit because Rav Simi Barashi told the guys on the top crops, he told them the halacha like Shmuel. The bottom crops, he told them the halacha like Rav. And then he was with the middle crops, he took the water before everyone else. So he said, I have a halachic basis. Abaye says, no, that wasn't completely honest. The whole year he wouldn't derive benefit from the crops. They were watered dishonestly. With an inkling of dishonesty, says Shlomo HaMelech, I've taught you wisdom, I've taught you honesty. And so when you live a life of wisdom and you live a life of honesty, then you can move forward with confidence. B'lechtecha lo yitzal tza'adehecha. When you walk, you won't walk in small steps like you're always scared. No, because you'll know I'm doing what's right. There's a certain element of confidence that should come with leading an observant life. Ve'im tarutz lo tikashel. And if you run, you won't stumble. I'm giving you a way of life in which you can advance and you can move forward. You don't always have to live in fear. People sometimes think leading a religious life means living in constant fear. Quite the contrary. Leading a religious life means I can move forward. You guys remember the story, but I asked the Shiloh. You guys remember? Come on, we said already twice here. The guy with the recurring dream from the Holocaust, the 10 people who came kept coming back to him. Okay, so leading an observant life is supposed to give us an element of confidence. I know I'm doing what's right. Hachazek mamusar al teherif. Shlomo HaMelech says, hold on to the Torah. The Torah is called the musar. The Torah is called the teaching that restrains us, so to speak, that keeps us in line, that keeps us as moral people, and don't let go, and don't even weaken your grasp. Meaning sometimes, yeah, I'll be observant, but you know, there are all kinds of observant people. You always hear that. Why can't you be a more open, observant person? So Shlomo Mel says, no, hold on and don't release your grip. Watch over it, for that is your life. Sometimes a person thinks, no, life, if I really want to live life, so let me go and live life. We had a student here whose father wanted to take him on vacation to Eilat. So his father said, I'm happy you're in yeshiva, but you got to live some life too. And I was thinking, that's the exact opposite of this puzzle. You know, this is living life. This is life. You need a break, everyone needs a vacation. Go take a vacation. Fine. But within the confines of what's moral, what's correct, what's the Torah way of life. Be'orach reshaim al tavoho. Shlomo HaMelech says, don't go on the path of the wicked. A person shouldn't start walking their path even. And don't find yourself going down their road. It's not the way to go. A person sometimes says, I'm just going that way. No. You stick to path of honest people. Pira'eu, Shlomo HaMelech says. In your mind, you should disregard it. That path shouldn't exist in your mind. It's like there are multiple understandings to this pasuk, but I'll give you one which, to me, was a practical benefit. It was, we'll just finish the pasuk. Pira'eu, al ta'avor bo. Shlomo HaMelech says, forget that path, don't walk through that path. Sitei me'alav, va'avor. Turn off of that path and pass around. So I was once leaving yeshiva, it was the Lower East Side, Chinatown, and I was the last one to leave. It must have been a Thursday night. I was in yeshiva where most of the guys were married, so they all packed out at like 6:37 to go learn at home. They got to be with their family a little bit. So I was there, and it's late at night. I don't know, 11, 12, 1. I'm leaving yeshiva, and I used to carry around an attaché case with all my notes. I had a whole system of cards and notes where I all indexed according to the alphabet, so I'd always carry around this big attaché case on wheels with about 5,000-10,000 worth of index cards of notes. So jewelers also sometimes walk around that kind of attaché case, and I didn't realize that. So I'm walking out, it's 1 o'clock in the morning, and I go to the corner, I wait for the light to change, and there's a don't walk sign, and in front of me I see a group of people. And they're not the type of people you think you want to meet at 1 o'clock in the morning. And I'm thinking to myself, well, there's a lot of light here. This is, I'm not doing anything illegal. And I have no, you know, what would they want from a guy like me? And I'm standing there at the light, waiting for it to change from don't walk to walk. And they're talking. I figure I'll just walk around them. And as it's waiting, I remembered this pasuk. Shlomo HaMelech says, don't walk through wicked people. Don't walk. Don't walk that way. That route should not exist in your mind. Cross the street, go a different way. So, the light turns green, and now I'm not crossing that way. Now I'm waiting for the other light, right? You got to cross the other way. Cross the street, go down the other way. And I got my reward when I was walking on the other side of the street, and suddenly I see them turn to me and start talking about me and point and start talking in Chinese about me, and I see them pointing to the case and me and the case. I'm telling myself, okay, good thing I didn't walk through there. You know, the case didn't have anything that would interest them, but that doesn't mean they knew that. And that was this pasuk. Yeah. So I don't know, I'm not saying, you know, you have all kinds of gangs in the Lower East Side. But when I looked at them at first glance, I just saw a group of youngsters talking. My mind wasn't on them. And then I said to myself, no, you can't be stupid. A group of youngsters standing around at 1 o'clock in the morning, it's not a good idea. Go the other way, go around. Shlomo HaMelech says you shouldn't walk through it, walk around it. Just cross the street and go over on the other side. So that's what I did. And as I'm walking, I suddenly hear that I'm a point of interest to them. They're talking about me. So, okay, this pasuk, I remember thinking this pasuk. Tera'ehu al tavobo. Shlomo HaMelech says, that path shouldn't exist in your mind. Go around, don't go through trouble and say, I'm okay, I'm not interested, I'm not a part of it. No, be smart, go around, that path shouldn't exist. And then I applied it also when I get off the bus. The bus stop, the only bus stop that was relevant to me in Manhattan was on a block that was the equivalent to the red light district. So I'd always... I could get off at a point where I could immediately go to a different block. So I needed to really walk down that block. I don't remember which avenue it was. I needed to really walk down that block to get to the subway stop. But there was a way of going around. It meant another 5-minute walk. So I went around. That's Shlomo HaMelech's line. If you have a path of wickedness, that's not the way to go. Don't go on a path that's a bad path. That path shouldn't exist in your mind. A person could say, but I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm just going to my subway stop. No. Preu. Go around. That path shouldn't exist. Ki lo yishnu, im lo yareyu. Because you have to understand the way of the wicked, says Shlomo HaMelech. The way of the wicked is that they can't sleep if they haven't been productive that day. And productivity to them means their way of life. Making a buck, let's call it that. Shlomo HaMelech says, for they don't sleep if they have not yet inflicted harm. V'nigzila shinatam, im lo yachshilu. And their sleep is bothered, is stolen from them if they haven't caused stumbling yet today. I remember we had an encounter with a person told us about his brother, and he said, I'm skipping part of the story, which I might have told a different time. His brother said, he said, my brother is the type of guy that couldn't go to sleep if he hadn't yet beaten 91 up today. There are people like that. Shlomo HaMelech says, don't assume that they have you're of no interest to them and you have nothing to do with them. Shlomo HaMelech says, even if you won't join them, you're endangering yourself when you go through there. Ki lachamu lechem reisha v'yein chamasim yishtu. For their bread is bread of wickedness and their wine is wine of thievery. From their most basic needs to their most intricate indulgences, you have to understand where the funding for all of that is coming. They're not making an honest buck. So you have to ask yourself, where are they getting all that money from? It's not from honesty. And if you're walking through them, then you're easy prey. Ve'orach tzadikim ke'or nohoga. But the way of the righteous, that's like the sunlight. Holech va'o ad nechon hayom. Just like the sunlight keeps getting stronger as day goes through, that's the way of the righteous. The tzaddikim choose a path which is filled with light, a path which gives light unto others. Just like the day keeps getting brighter for people, so people are always thinking, people are going in the way of the tzaddikim are always thinking, how can I get this right? How could I be better? How could I be more accurate in what I'm doing? How can I gain more clarity? That's the way of the tzaddikim. Derech reshaim ka'afela lo yade'u b'megi kashelu. The way of the wicked, that's like darkness. They don't even know where they're about to stumble. So they don't even know where to be careful. So if the tzaddikim's way is comparable to a way of light, a person has to know the way of the wicked is comparable to darkness. A guy is always going to cheat on his taxes. He's never going to know when the IRS is ready to catch him. Chazal tell us, lead the life that's correct, and then you're leading a life that's filled with light. A person who is leading a life that's filled with treachery, with deceit, so then he's really leading a life of darkness, and he doesn't know when the moment's going to come when he suddenly has to fall. That's not a way of life. It's not a way of life. It's improper. It's not right. And it's also not a way of life, because even in this world, he can't enjoy what he's doing. He always has to be aware, wait a second, when are they going to catch up to me? Someone once said, people think they could outsmart the FBI. They don't realize that time is on the FBI's side. They got all the time in the world. So they'll put another case on the another agent on the case. So it'll take another year. It doesn't matter. And then they'll catch him. It's just a matter of time. So time is on their side. Okay, we'll pick up here next time.